They're in front of you, so yes. Okay, so the Gemara says, guys, so the Gemara three lines down on Nundalit Amud Aleph says as follows, Vatanya, Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'er Shabbat Ben Hashmashot. There were 10 things that were created on Friday Ben Hashmashot of the first week, Ve'elohein, and these are them, the Be'er, presumably the Be'er of Miriam, but we'll come back to it, Ve'haman.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Rav, you got it. That's pretty good.
Okay, I'll give it to you. The manna. Happy? Good? Not Haman, but Haman. Vikeshet. And?
Rainbow.
The rainbow. Ktav u'michtav.
Writing and letters.
Very good. Yes, the writing and the writing. Yes. Ktav is, so, right, meaning the way Rashi says is the way you read it and the way you write it, but we'll get to it. Vahaluchot, v'kivro shel Moshe, right, Moshe's grave, u'ma'arash amad ba Moshe ve'Eliyahu, and the cave where Moshe and Eliyahu stood, p'tichat pi ha'aton, the opening of the mouth of the donkey by Bilam, u'ptichat pi ha'aretz levload ha'resha'im, and the opening of the earth to swallow up the Rishaim. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Mishum Aviv Af Haor, right? He says also fire, which is the one we focused on last time. Ve'al Pered and the mule, again, focused on last time. And Rabbi Yoshi Omer Mishum Aviv Af Ha'ayil, also the ram, presumably the one. Yeah, exactly, by the Akedah. Va'shamir, and the magic, and the magic worm.
The lovers from your room.
Right, which is one of two dayot in the Gemara of how we built the Beit HaMikdash, the magic worm that that Shlomo got by tricking the head demon. I know it's your favorite story in all of Shas. I know.
Why did we want a magic worm?
What? So that you wouldn't have to cut the stones with metal.
Stones in a perfect straight line.
And you weren't allowed to use metal. So he needed the shamir. Because it's a pasuk. So actually, fascinatingly enough, it's not, right? The pasuk says you're not allowed to use it for mizbeah. Shlomo expands it to the Beit HaMikdash, right? And then he uses the shamir, the magic worm. All I know is as a little kid, did anyone else have the little like art scroll kids book of the shamir?
No.
When I was a kid, they did that. What? I think so. When I had it. What was it called? The magic worm? Probably something like that. I don't know.
What is it about?
What do you think about the shamir?
I'm
sorry. If there were any Agadot in Shas that you could turn into a child story, that's not it.
Oh, yeah, the Ashmedai one. We have to capture him to get
captures Ashmedai, gets him drunk. I mean, what is wrong? What in that story is not fun? I mean, come on. It goes on. It's one of the longest Agadot in Shas. It's huge. The Shlomo fight, you know, tricking Ashmedai to get. Exactly, right? Right? See, exactly. I had it from a book. See, there you go.
But which list is this in the chart?
What? One second, BT. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afatsevet. Rabbi Yehuda says, also, after all these very rarefied things, tongues. Tongues were created, Beit HaShemashot. Why? Because Uay Omer, Tzavta, Bitzavta, Mitavda. Because tongs are used to make tongs. Because how else are you supposed to put something in the fire? So someone had to make the first tongs. So he says, no. Vitzavta kamaitam on Aved. Red, who made the first one? So he says, I library b'day shamayimi. Amar le'efshar yasena b'tfus v'yikven. He said, make it in a mold, genius. Make it in a mold. Right, so, okay. Then the Gemara goes on to, wait, what about fire? So the Gemara says, "Given a cave on the halai bria bidada malokasha hub or didada bor de gehenna." He says, depends which fire you're talking about. Is it fire or the fire of hell?
No fire.
Right?
I thought we don't really believe in that kind of thing.
No, we do. Fire and brimstone. There we go. Yep, clearly. Clearly.
In the text.
It's definitely literal. Definitely literal. I can give you the degrees. I can just tell you exactly how hot it was. What?
Tell me you're being sarcastic, please.
I should tell him I'm being sarcastic. What? Why? Because the dripping sarcasm coming out of my mouth is not obvious enough. I don't understand. What do you want from my life? Right. So the Gemara says, right? Because the Gemara says, or didan b'motzei Shabbat, regular fire was created on Motzei Shabbat, but or digehenom, fire of hell, Be'erev Shabbos was on Friday. The Gemara says, or digehenom, Be'erev Shabbos, Ibrei. Really? Now the Gemara, if you weren't yet. Now, we're only going to have time to focus on the first list, I think.
Really?
Right? Because the Gemara says, really? Was it created in Ben Ashmasher? But wait, I have another list to confuse you, and that is, Vatan Yeshivu Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shin Nivru Olam, the seven things created before the world was created. So now we have the 10 things of Ben Ashmasher and the seven from before the world. I'm really tempted to like spend like another week on those because they're awesome. They're beautiful. Beautiful. Just the Akedah Yitzchak, it's just beautiful. The shot. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, like, you'll love it. Like, it's like beautiful, systematic metaphor of like the entire piece, like one systematic piece. I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful. What? When we finish this next, no, not next week, 2 weeks, next week, Hanukkah. But yes, I mean, it's just, I was like, should I spend another week on these? And I'm like, oh, but it's so beautiful. Like, just like, unbelievable. I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of Kabbalistic writing on it also. And like, I sat through and I read, you know, all of that also. I just sat and sat, but I look at, found the Akedah Yitzchak, and I'm just like, oh, beautiful. Anyways, so let's try to get a little bit of understanding on what Chazal could possibly mean by telling us that there were these things that were created, Ben Ashmasha. Now, here's the problem. Not only is it very unclear to me why 10 things have to be created, Ben Hashmashot. Guys, have to be created in Ben Hashmashot and Erev Shabbos. This is like the favorite midrash of all midrash. I don't know why. It appears, as you see in the chart that I took from Svaria, in basically every collection we have, from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right, to the Bavli, to the Targum, Birgi Lazar, Lekak Dov Michilta, so Tanaitic sources, Amoraic sources. Slight problem is that, as you can see here, the lists are not identical. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Wait, what did I get? 13? Did I miscount? 13 lists? No, 11. 11, yes. 11 lists, of which none of them are identical. Yay, none of them are identical. So as you can see, the Mishnah in Avot has the mouth of the earth, mouth of the well, mouth of the, right, Bilam's donkey, rainbow man, staff, shamir, letters, writing, tablets, demons, Moshe's grave, Avram's ram and tongs. The Mechilta has rainbow, right? Man, staff, letters, shamir, tablets, mouth of earth, mouth of the donkey. I'm just going to say donkey. Moshe's grave, cave, because you're not mature. Cave, clothing. Moshe, cave of Moshe and Eliyahu, right? Not in the Mishnah, but is in the Gemara. Clothing, Aaron's staff.
What clothing? Just the idea?
What?
Two of them are the same. It's the three and Mechilta.
Which ones are the same?
Four and five.
Oh, you're right. I take it back. Two of the lists are the same. You're right. Correct.
Wow.
Right? Very so good. Midrash Tanaim, rainbow mana, staff, shamir, letters, writing, tablets, da-da-da-da-da. Right? So you have these lists. So obviously we could spend forever trying to figure out, right? Now, many of these overlap, as you can see, right? But the idea that there were things that were created, Bein HaShmashot, is apparently a very important midrashic idea, or I wouldn't have this. I just gave you the chart, so I wouldn't have, because I could have done this meanly. I could have given you the 11 sources and said, okay, please, figure it out. And I'm like, no, here, I'll just do it visually. Look, thank chart. You. They all do this, and they, yes.
Is Zenithos during the creation or like before?
Yes.
We don't, this is not like
a good. So, okay. I did give you one other, because I felt like the Mishnah should get, it's fair, so I gave it to you here. Asar Dram Nivru Be'erev Shabbat, Ben Ashmashot, Ve'eluen, Pi'arz, Pi'er, Pi'aton, Ha'keshet, Va'aman, Va'amata, Va'ashamir, Va'achtav, Va'amichtav, Va'aluchot, Ve'yeshomrim, Afa Maziken, Ukurato Shel Moshe, Ve'ilu Shel Avram, Avinu, Ve'yeshomr, Af Tzevet, B'Tzevet, Asuyah. I'm sorry, Rudy, by the way, if I it wasn't clear that I was being sarcastic, because we're going to talk a little about demons and fire and, like, you know.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yes. But, you know, I don't know. I speak in sarcasm. I speak in...
Because when you're doing your Gata Tashir, you're talking about crazy fantastical things. So that's why I'm not
okay.
sure what
you want. Correct. But I don't understand. You do know that, like, sarcasm and cynicism is, like, my first language.
Yes,
English
I know,
second.
I know.
But, like, you know... yes, Josh.
So I was just wondering, like... Because I've always heard that, like, with the donkey creator, isn't, like, the mouth of the donkey, the mouth of those things.
Oh,
like,
good. Okay, good, 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 good. So, we gotta figure this out, right? We got now. Are we gonna get into every detail? No. If you wanna, guys, if you wanna do every detail, so you have to really look through the Mefarshim on every single list where they explain it in excruciating detail. If you only want the list on the Mishnah, and you only want to be shown it, you can do what I did.
Oh, no.
And you can take this, which is the which is
really good for the audio.
Rishonim on the Mishnah, okay, on Pirkei Avot, and you can go to Perek Hey, and I did this. So don't I did it. Trust me, I did this before I prepared because I prepare extensively and then only tell you some. And then you can just read all the Rishonim. It's the same publishers, right? You can read Rashi, Rambam, Rashbat. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Shimshon Meiri and Svarno, and you can see it will take you 1 page, 2 page, 3 page, 4 page, 5 page, 6 pages, 7 pages, 8 pages, 9 pages, 10 pages, 11 pages, 12 pages, 13 pages, 14 pages.
And that's the next possible.
14 pages. There you go. 14 pages of straight Mefarshim. And as you will see on the sources, that's not all the Rishonim I put. I put other Rishonim there as well. That's just the Mishnah's list. So you can, if you would like, spend that. But I'm going to try to get some broad ideas, okay? And I know we have done different types of styles, right? Last week we did Bavli Rushalmi and we did comparative study, right? But we're going to be much more classic this week and we're going to say, okay, there's some things here that sound very...
wacky?
Yes, thank you. Very wacky. And I look at it and I say, it's got to be something metaphorical. And you know what? You know what we don't normally have? So if you remember all the beginning of the year, remember the beginning of the year? We read the Rambam. And the Rambam said, here's 3 ways of learning Agadata. And one day, I promise you, I will write a book on Agadata and explain to you how you read Agadata. And then he never did it. And Avraham ben Rambam said, yes, my father got afraid. But guess what? On this Mishnah, the Rambam actually tells us how to read this Agadic statement. And then the Meiri, thinking very Maimonideanly, expands on it and says, let me flesh out what he meant with some differences, admittedly. So we're actually going to look at how people in the Rambam school, right, actually read it. Because the Rambam doesn't give us many examples. But guess what? This is one where he does it. So before we actually read the Rambam, what would you do? What would you say? How do you read this Mishnah? Yes.
These are like events or things for events that are necessary for the world, like...
So why are they created bin Hashmasha? What is the meaning? Ah, so you're telling me it's necessary for the world. Now, if I wanted to say something was necessary for the world, you know when I would have said it was created?
During creation.
Before creation, maybe the beginning of creation. Now you could say, well, okay, not beginning, so end. End is also good. Right?
It's like events where it's
but let's be honest, there's something else going on here because you got to be sensitive to the Agadah. It doesn't say at the end of creation or sometime during creation. It says at twilight. Right,
which parts on the twilight?
Banish Russia, right? The waning moments of creation. Like, what is the point of that, right? There has to be something there, right? If it was essential, is that when it's going to be in those waning moments? Maybe.
Probably not.
But we'll see. Okay. Ezra, Moshe, Pash, then Eitan. Go. What?
Could it be that...
There's no rhyme or reason to when I use first or last names. I'm sorry. Okay? There is no rhyme or reason. Well, that's not true. With Moshe's, I should always use the last name, but whatever. What? But I never do, and I confuse myself. Moshe, and then Moshe. Good God. Yeah, okay. Okay, so Ezra already notices these are all miraculous, or most of them. Not all of them. Oh, the tongs are not. But guess what? The tongs are... not good. They're not in the they're not in the core list. Good. So methodologically, you'd say, what is the core, right? What is the core of all these lists? And not surprisingly, all of them miraculous. Good. Now what? Now what? Okay, but good. First insight. Good. And you'll see that's the Rambam's key. The Rambam would say, aha, These are miracles. Good. Yes, Moshe.
Well, I think the idea of being a smartass is probably something like, it wasn't done during creation where God was doing all the work. It wasn't done after creation where it was solely done by man. So it's this, I guess, Suffolk time period.
Okay, good. So Moshe says, it's not part of creation, but it's not part of creation. Right? Right? In Lumdus, right, there's a machloket. Like, what is Ben Ashmasha? Is Ben Ashmasha a Suffolk? Or, as the Ritva says it, Klapi Shmalya Galya Svekahu. To God himself, it is a Suffolk. Meaning, it's a Chaloy Shame Suffolk. It is, right?
I don't even know what this means. It means twilight, I'm guessing.
Ben Ashmasha is the period between, it's not clear what it is, but yeah, it's that time between the beginning of Nightfall and the end of Nightfall, which has a min-between status or a suffix status. Yes.
Google says it's I was going to kind of say what they said, right? So these things which would appear to be not natural, but since they were sort of like shorned in there, they are like part of the natural world.
Good. So the Rambam here says, you know what this means? So one of the Rambams... The one in the Mishnah, but fundamentally, before we get into the details of the list, but the overarching idea, right? Which is mostly what we'll do. Maybe we'll make a few points here and there about the things in the list. The Rambam has a very famous thesis. And that is...
All miracles were made in creation. All miracles were part of creation.
Yeah, right? Meaning that all miracles that... I'll put it this way, okay? The Rambam, as we'll see, minimizes miracles in the sense of God interfering in the world, basically to vanishing, right? Basically the point of vanishing. Right, he basically says, as we'll see, they were programmed in. Right? Now, if you say miracles are programmed in, but they didn't actually happen, what would be a nice metaphorical way of saying those words?
What do you mean by they didn't actually happen?
Well, they didn't happen yet. They didn't happen in the time of creation. What's a good way of saying they were built into creation, but even though they didn't happen yet? Yeah, and if you think metaphorically, Moshe, where would you put this? And how would you write that if you wanted to talk metaphorically? They were created Ben Ashmashot, right? They were created and not created. They happened and didn't happen. They were programmed. They exist in part of creation even though they didn't happen yet, right? Ben Ashmashot is actually the perfect metaphor, right? That's exactly, this is where the Rambam gets that idea from this, or he reads it. Now, and right, watch it, what? We'll get there. The Rambam doesn't deal with that. The Meiri does. The Rambam doesn't. But look at the Rambam. One second. Let's just read the Rambam, then give me your question. Okay, Rambam, look. Kvar zachartila olecha beperek hashmini. Shem lo yaminu b'chidosh harotzon 8 achar 8. Right? I told you, right, that they don't believe in, right, creation, of the will, time after time. Ella. Shibereshit asiyat advarim husam b'tiv'am. She'ase bahem kol ma she'ase. In creation, it was planted in to creation. All that would happen, right? All that would happen was programmed in that it would happen. Bain shahaya davar she'ase tadir. Vuadat davar tivi. And that's true whether what we're talking about is something would happen consistently, which is what we call nature. Ubain she'elitim rachokot. Or if it would happen rarely, which we call the who, hamufet. Wonders. Lefichach amar. Shebayom ha-shishi. So therefore, what does the Mishnah say? On the sixth day. Usam ba'aretz shetishka. B'korach v'adata. Sixth day, God already said, Korach ne'eda. U'be'er shetel tziyamayim. U'va'aton shetetaber. V'chen ha-shar. U'chtav hi ha-torah. K'tuva lefanav yitaleh. That's the Torah. Right? The mechtav is on the luchot. Next paragraph. V'shem ha-tomar. And maybe you'll tell me, Ima moftim kulam uzmu b'tivi, otam advarim b'sheshem b'breshet lama yuchdu elo asara. So now he says, okay, wait a second, I don't understand. If what you're saying is that to say something was created b'en hashmashot is to say it looks like a miracle, and it is, but there is no fundamental difference between a miracle and nature, it's just a question of how often we see it. But both miracles and nature were programmed into creation, so the Rambam says, and that's what he thinks it means to be created b'en hashmashot. So he says, so what's the obvious question? Why these 10 and not the others, or these 10 plus, right?
But they're not miracles. Like you said, they're part of nature.
Yes, but we perceive them as miracles because they're rare. Da, Shem lo yuchdu lomar she'en sham mofej uzam badev dvarim she'ez reishit zulat eila. It's not specific. Ela omar she'eile bilvar hayta esiyatam ben hashmashot. Ushar amovtim omnam usmu beteva davar she'nasu bo breishit he'osoto. The difference is simply ben hashmashot. Everything else was put in when it was created. Meaning what? L'mashal amar ki b'yom ha'sheni be'et echalkur ha'mayim usam betviyatam shivakai yam Sof Yamsuf Lamoshe. So the Rambam says something very carefully. He said, look, Kriyat Yamsuf, at what point did you program into Kriyat Yamsuf that it would split? A second day when God split the waters, meaning it's a miracle in the nature of water. It's not a standalone miracle, right? It's a exception in the laws of water. And therefore, the proper way to talk about it is that it was created, as it were, on day two. These miracles, he says, all the other miracles were set to happen at that time, except these 10. Now, the Rambam doesn't quite explain why. But what you'd have to say is that these, right, at least some of them, right, we can easily understand, not all those in the Mishnah, but let's say the rainbow. Right? Where would the rainbow, right, which appears in many of the lists, not all of them, let's say. Why would you say the rainbow is created then? Because
water and light.
Right, meaning it's also in some sense standalone. Now it's not in the Mishnah. Right? But the Shamir. Why would you say the Shamir has to be created now? Because what are you gonna say? It's not earthworm, which is magical. It's a magic worm. Right? Meaning it's a different Bria.
What about the king?
Right?
What's a Bria?
Creation, right? Or letters. When would you say, what is the day that letters or writing is created? The writing on the Lucha, right? Meaning what the Rambam's point, I think, and even though, yeah, we could quibble about some of them, because why the mouth of the well, right? Be'er Miriam, like, it couldn't be in a rock? I mean, you could quibble about these, but it seems what the Rambam is saying is, look, some of these, at least, they are independent from the rest of creation. And therefore, you can't say most miracles are built into the nature of that thing which is being acted upon. But like the Shamir, what are you going to say? Like, it's not a magic earthworm, right? It's the Shamir. So the Shamir has to be created at some point. Or writing, right? Or the Luchot. Right? Now, you'll ask me, okay, what about the mouth of the donkey? Right? So yeah, it could be that it's conceptualized here not as a donkey, like, it's built into the nature of donkeys that they can talk. It's like, this donkey was like a different hellos. Now, for the Rambam, there's going to be a slight problem here. And we can't get into all the problems. There is a major problem for the Rambam in this detail, which is the Rambam thinks this was a dream, right? So, the dream was created. What that means, I don't know, right? So there are going to be problems here for the Rambam, but okay. Yes, Rudy.
So, how are we determining between something that's a miracle and something that's not? So a rainbow.
For the Rambam?
Well, just think about it. The rainbow.
For the Rambam? Well, you're waiting for an answer? Are you asking me for the Rambam?
Yes.
There is no difference.
Because so my point.
There is no difference.
Well, so can I say
there is no difference?
Why can't somebody finish asking my questions? Like, is a tree considered a miracle? Because it happens all the
time.
So
no. The Rambam says the only difference between a miracle and a non-miracle fundamentally is whether it happens all the time or not. It's from our perception.
Rainbows happen all the time.
Yeah, so the rainbow didn't.
The rainbow,
so they're talking about the specific. That
presumably,
specific,
yes. Yeah.
So would all rare instances of things be considered a miracle? So
from this perspective, yes.
So if you find an animal, it's a binome, that's, let's just say, 1 in 1 million.
So for the Rambam, there isn't a fundamental line between them. Sure. It's a question of our perception. So.
So we perceive it as a miracle.
It could be. It could be. I mean, probably not, but like in theory, right? I mean, for the Rambam, fundamentally, there is no difference. That's the point.
It's like the Six-Day War was such,
Right, but for the Rambam, it's a miracle. But like in the Rambam, there isn't a fundamental difference. Now, who disagrees with this very heavily, parenthetically, right? We're not getting into it now, but the Ramban seems to, even though it's not clear, but the Ramban, at least one place, says that if you believe that, then that you have no chelik in Taurus Moshe Rabbeinu. Elsewhere, he says basically the same as the Rambam, so, you know, hence David Berger wrote an article, so like, how do you say the two things? But yeah, meaning, look, as let's say it is the Ramban, though it might not be the Ramban, right? Carmi once put it very nicely, that the real machloket between thinking, right, the Ramban, at least the simple pshat and bo, goes to the opposite extreme. and says, no, there's no difference between nature and miracles because there is no nature, right? Everything is, or what's known in philosophy as occasionalism, right? That what looks like order and patterns is not. Everything is a miracle. God is just doing it now. He's just choosing to make it look the same many, 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 many times, but there's no now. Again, does the Ramban actually believe that? It's not clear. But Ray Carmi once put it very succinctly, that what's the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban is whether you prioritize, in terms of God's definition, his power, right, or his wisdom, right? The Rambam, the ultimate quality for the Rambam is wisdom. And who's a better architect, right? The one who draws the plans, has the house built, and then never needs to tinker with it, right? Or the one who needs to come in and tinker with it every day, right? So on the level of wisdom, obviously, if you do it once and it's perfect for all of eternity, you're quite wise, right? On the other hand, if you focus on God's power and involvement and things like that, right, the more he's involved, the more powerful he is. Yes, Ezra.
Doesn't he say somewhere else, I don't know where, that a miracle is... Like,
I gave you the just here. The Rambam is much more extensive than the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar, but I did not give you
right. The Moreh Nebuchadnezzar. Not even in the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe somewhere else he says it's like... Specific timing and a specific place.
Correct. Yeah. Elsewhere, the Rambam describes that miracles, right, it's less about breaking nature, whatever that means, but rather that this rare event happened at the right time to the right people in a way that was beneficial. Correct. Right? And in that sense, yes. Meaning that's why there isn't necessarily a fundamental difference between what looks like a breach of nature, like the splitting of the Amzuv, and sure, the Six-Day War, because, you know, sure, it's still. Right. Yes, military battles happen and are very, you know, it's unlikely, but it's statistically possible. But yes, it happened to this people in this time in this way, which was, you know, a rare occurrence or statistical unlikely occurrence. So yes. I mean, again, for the Rambam, there's again, it's very hard to draw the line. Now, of course, there are it's a little bit tricky because you have to deal with human action, right? Because free will is also part of this, right? Human free will is not in that sense. Right, it's sort of out of this category. It's a different one, right?
Because
very much so. The Rambam thinks it's among the most important principles. Yes. Okay, now, the Rambam gives you the basic thesis. Now, he doesn't flesh it out. The Me'iri, and this is not all of the Me'iri, but the Me'iri, I think he's a little bit different than the Rambam, but he also, right, if you want to understand Agadot on its own terms, right, he does dig a bit deeper. Okay, so he writes as follows: Aseret Dvarim Nivru Berev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot VeElohein. Right, he quotes the list. Kfar Yadat Mivri Chachamim Zal Shimayot Ratzon Barayit Barach Shinchu Dvarim Me'ed Abriyah VaElach Al Tivam. Right, you know that since the will of God was that things should be there from creation and stay in their nature, right? Ratzon Gamkein Lefiyam Nataratenu Akdosha Shiistanu Atvayim. Just like God wanted there to be nature, He wanted there to be certain changes in nature. Be'ed Menayitim at certain times. But that doesn't reflect a change in God's will. In Breishit Rabbah, it does say that God made a condition with Kriyat Yamsuf that it would split. Okay? And then he quotes other ones that in the Midrash there are God makes conditions with the fire to not hurt Hanan and Mishael and Azariah, and with the lions to not hurt Daniel, and for the fish to not to spit out Yonah. And he says four lines from the bottom. That's true of all miracles. Therefore, some people overstep, like Josh, sorry, right, and say that all this Mishnah means is that nature was built into creation, that miracles were built into creation. And why Ben Hashmashot? It's the end of creation. Right? And that's all it means. That this is about all miracles and it's just about the end. Right? He says, some people, V'chein chayev ha-ratzon ha-kadum. Lopir ze hizkir, Sarav in Pi'ar Dulia Eda Korach, Upi'a Be'er, Lo Tzimayim Lishrak, Tachtib Parashat Shirat Ha-Be'er, Upi'a Aton, Ledaber Ba'keshi Yeba Anan Lo Brit, Shamim Yizir, Ratzon Ratzir Ha-Keshe, Cheinu Chavim Lo'onesh Kliya, right? It's not just a rainbow, but the rainbow that would prove to us that there is you know, Scar of Onesh. And he gives the whole list. Right, and he says each of these is telling us a lesson, right? So the Keshet is teaching us Scarva Onesh, and the Manda, etc. But next paragraph, he says, I don't buy that, right? He says you could just go straight and say the point of this mission is to tell us that miracles are really just nature. He says that's not true. Why is that not true? Because then it would do what the Midrash did, right? What Breishit Rabbah did, which was it would have a laundry list of every miracle that ever happened. Right, he says, "V'yesh litzmo mipnei malo mana hayam shenikrav achamashi amod leYeshua v'yarden shechalek Yeshua." Right, if that's the case, then list all the miracles. Amelio leElisha lekchad chamim tertzu shekach haya litzmo kol echad biyomo. So he said, some befarshim, i.e., the Rambam, said, "Yeah, that's basically true. It's just that those are quote unquote programmed into the day of creation." Right, that's the Rambam. Right, vayarden alamayim biyom sheni, vamat eshemesh yom revi'i, v'chein shar neflaot. Well, elu shiskru kan yichesel emein ashmashot, shari p'tichar v'atona, av v'emad biyom sheni, avru v'adayin ani tameh. He says, I'm not sure that's right. Right, even if the basic theological lesson of the Rambam is correct, he's not sure that that suffices to explain the agadic move. Because imkein hayelo le'yaches pi aretz u'pi ba'er. What's this problem? Exactly our problem, which is fine. The shamir is not an earthworm, it's a shamir. But the shamir, the magic worm, right?
Bro, it's just a worm.
It's a worm. It's a worm. It's a worm. It's very complicated. I don't know. But he says, so he says, right? He says, what's the problem? The problem is if the Rambam was right, the Rambam should have explained not just the shamir, but the pia aretz, the opening of the earth. Like, yes, but he said, why isn't that something you could have programmed on day three when you create land? Right? Meaning some of the Rambam's claims work to distinguish between these 10 and Kriyat Yamsuf. But like, why is Kriyat Yamsuf different than the opening of the land for Adas Korach? Right? Meaning if, and therefore he says, he says the Efshar. So he says, first he tries to defend the Rambam. Okay? What? Miri.
Right.
So the Afshar should pia bear pia aretz, ikor mitzu tam, laniyim lugmol bnei adam shenivru'u bashishi. Chen shvarat varim. The kavanat ha-ma'amar l'kvot b'vot emunat gmul v'onesh, afil l'kdei shinui ha-tva'im, ba'in yitchatshut, ratzun yitchatshut b'riyah, shekin unach mitcha b'divei ha-dvarim, l'shonu tafkidam, ratzun omer v'gozer, he said, maybe, there isn't a fundamental difference, but because the land was opened up for Korach to punish him, it is a representation of Scharva Onesh, and Scharva Onesh, right, reward and punishment only applies to who? People. So maybe you can only say that it's created, right, a symbol of Scharva Onesh can only be created after man is created on day six. And therefore, metaphorically, it's not war. You can't talk about a symbol of reward and punishment being created until man exists, right? So the Meiri says maybe you can sort of fudge it a little bit. Okay, he's still not convinced.
Wait, who?
Yes.
You have to say that God, or I don't know, you have to, but it would make more sense to say that all miracles were like, I don't know, like originally intended, since God is like outside of time, so you can't really say God does, you know, like, day-to-day
miracle. Yeah, no, for sure. That's probably part of it also with the Rambam. He doesn't think God is in time, and therefore, what would it mean to say that God performed a miracle at this time?
Wait, it doesn't have to be, like, preferred naturalization. Couldn't God just give the constant existence of miracles that are just, like,
so that's not a, right, that's not how the Rambam takes it, right? The Rambam just says it's programmed in. Or we'll see. But the Meiri says, I'm still not convinced. What's the other problem that he has with the Rambam? Is not everything here is miraculous at all. Right? Meaning he says, the Rambam sounds very nice, but there's two major problems. Some of the miracles sound like they should be like any other miracle. Right? Like the opening up the earth, which should be programmed on day three and not Bein Hashmashot. The second is that not everything here is obviously miraculous. Like the idea of writing, The Luchot? I mean, yes, no. So sure, that's the Michtav, but the idea of Ktav, like writing, I mean, maybe? It's like, this is not obvious, right? Vidari Yosef and Yarevik on a cash of the Elo Shel Avram, and he says, what about the Isle of Avraham? Right? Or the Kever of Moshe? Like, that's not even obviously miraculous. Like, it doesn't say. Fine, but like, it's not miraculous. So he was buried in a cave and no one found the cave. Okay. That's not pshat. Right? And the Isle of Avraham, it's a ram. Okay? Right, the Miri says, problem one is, it's not totally clear why all these miracles fit the Rambam's, right, bar. Second, it's not clear that everything in this list is a miracle at all, right? Like, the Ayel is not a miracle.
Well, that's the specific time and place.
But maybe time and place, right? But why couldn't that be built in day six into the Ayel? I mean, right, like, in that sense, right? Like, it's very unclear. So again, what I wanted to show is Meiri is very interesting, because the Meiri is clearly working more or less in the Rambam's theological model, but he's very much writing a Peirush on the Agadata, right? He's saying, okay, fine, I get your basic theological lesson, but does it work as the meaning of this paragraph? Not, right? And that's a big difference, right? This is what I want to point out, right? There's having a theological idea, and then there's, is that the meaning of this, these words right here? Where the Meiri says, I get what the Rambam's saying, but does it fit? Right? Does it fit this Mishnah? So therefore, he says, "Elashira li." If you skip down, "Sheim heyotad verim amitiyem mitzad hazman." Mishnah zot lo kivna l'inyanim elu. He says, "Look, the Rambam is right, but it's not the point of this Mishnah." Right? He says that explicitly. Right? Meaning, I agree with him theologically, but giving a shir in philosophy is not the same as giving a shir in akadata. Right? He's saying it's very nice that lesson is true, but does it work? Here, aval inyan amishna la da'atiyu shekvar yadata shekol davar shebo kiyum vatzlachal uma nichbedet yityaches ha'inyan shamitziyot kulo yitchazek v'yismach l'kiyumo amar ha'arim v'agvod yivtichu v'neichem rina v'amar chasdei Hashem azkir k'nishku ha'tzarog yini borei shamayim chadashim gilei mitzrayim. He says, the key to understanding the Mishnah is that everything that exists and that causes success for the Jewish people, we approach it or we relate it and we say that creation or existence itself is strengthened through that fact. What does that mean? Next paragraph. Val derech ze hizkir kana dvarim. Sheheima yu kiyum ha'oma v'tachlid ha'atzlacha. So the point here is not just miracles, but that these things are essential for the Jewish people. Ktzatzam mitzad ha'emuna, some because of their role in faith, uktzatzam mitzad ha'tefa, and some because of their role in nature. Umitoch kach yecheis b'hem shem nivru b'en ha'shmashot. That's what it means, b'en ha'shmashot. Klomar, she'omer derech ha'flaga, it's saying rhetorically, she'ulei ha'dvarim, that if these things didn't exist, lo haya kiyum lazote emuna sheba, right? That the messages that they convey would not exist and creation would there fail, right? The point of saying is Bein HaShemashot is not just that they're built into creation, but that, right, they're like the linchpin to creation. V'chadome la tachlit ha-shleimut shehi b'li savek tachlit kavanat zeh ha-metziyut. They're the purpose of creation. That's why it's at the end, right? Back to Josh, right? It's the end. They're what gives creation meaning. Vinyan ben hashmashot. What is ben hashmashot? Klomar shetekef libriya. He says, is it part of creation? No. It's not part of creation. What is it doing? It's telling you the purpose of creation. So what is it saying? As soon as the mashal is, the metaphor is, as soon as creation is done, hitchayvu mitzara kabbalah lahamin kein. Because of our tradition, we have to believe in these fundamentals. Right? That, right, for creation to have meaning, these messages must exist. What are they? Now he goes through them. Now, right, he's not just right? Giving a theological lesson. He's telling you, how do you read it into the Agada? He says, look, v'izkir p'tichat p'ha'aretz. So why the opening of the earth? Lamin ba'onish ha'ra'im. Because it teaches you the principle of reward and punishment. Pia be'er, well, sorry, it teaches you punishment. Pia be'er, Miriam's well, lamin b'gmula tovin, to teach you reward. Shen pinot v'zolot b'dad, these are fundamentals of faith. Remez b'pia aton, kol inyan b'ilam, shi'ulule yishkach adot b'rach, avdu mikol v'kol. It teaches you hashkacha. Why? Because Bilam tried to destroy the Jewish people. The mouth of the aton represents God preventing the Jews from being destroyed, meaning it symbolizes hashkacha, that God is involved in the world. V'kol mitzad ha'mazal, komro, amalav ha'shalom, ami zacharna, mayatz balak. Right, he says that's why throughout Tanakh, right? Hosea says, remember what Bilam tried to do. The mandat tzidkot Hashem, so you know God's kindness. Klomar vastad skirt tzidkot Hashem im Israel. Kom ramzal brachot av zayin. Shlo ka'as botam yamim. Right, and he says there are other midrashim that point to this, like the Gemara in brachot av zayin saying that God never got angry in the time of Bilam. I'll skip down. The keshet, what is the rainbow? Shahayalo. Again, it's hashkacha because the keshet is the symbol the world would have been destroyed if God hadn't intervened or God hadn't had providence on them. Be careful. Providence. Vahaman. What is man? What's the lesson man teaches you? That God provides food. Very good. The mateh. Right? The Moshe's staff. You could have said that, but he says more specifically. Mitzrayim. Right? Yetziyah Mitzrayim is central to the faith, to our faith. Shamir. Very good. The centrality of the Beit HaMikdash. Right? The worm that was used to make the Beit HaMikdash. Right? Now he says, Chtav u'michtav, writing. Why? Right? He says, Aloshon sheshneem kiyum mitziyud anaga kulav. Zolotam ein nodeh knaf boza pet mitzavtseif. Right? He said, without language, nothing happens. Klum, right? Without language for the Torah to be conveyed, for be, right? Without the idea of language, the world doesn't function. Vahaluchot, v'nanim, amatan Torah. Right? I don't even have to explain, right? So now he says, now, Elo shel Avram, why is that a machloket? So he says, it symbolized, bavur li sh'arnu acharav bracha bekerev ha'aretz. It symbolizes that there's bracha in the world, right? So you can see, why is it a machloket? It's sort of borderline, right? Where like, I could know that, but like, it's a little bit specific. Like, it hasn't more negative, but specific. Kivro shel Moshe. So he says, it's necessary. Halmo mikol adam, ki zeu tzorach gadol, v'chashash chashuvu k'tzad avot ba'atzmam. Right? Because it's important. Because, you know, people were worried that, you know, whatever, people are going to worship Moshe, who knows, whatever, or to understand that Moshe is unique. Meaning, you understand, for the Meiri, why are these things machloket? Here are 10 yesodot that the world can. And then these are things that, like, are really important ideas, but, like, are they subsumed in other ideas? Are they really, like, the linchpins of creation, or just really important? Right? That's what this machloket means. Mazikim, why would you say demons? So he says, Romez ledati al yetzer hara. He thinks it means the yetzer hara, meaning shubitzad metzim kiyum ha'olam. At some level, the yetzer hara is necessary to the world, building in the midrash, so without the yetzer hara, right? No one would have kids, right? The idea of the yetzer hara is also essential. Skipping down. And then he says, what about tongues? Why the tongues? So he says, yitzchila kol ha'melachot, because all handiwork starts with tongues, right? That's what they mean, right? All like handiwork, working. What? Yeah, unique, right? And therefore, it's a symbol that the world needs, right? Needs. Correct, and you understand that that's a machloket, and that's the one that basically ends up being rejected. And now, if you look at his last paragraph, right? What does he do that the Rambam doesn't do? He says, and he acknowledges the fact that this is the general idea, but there are different lists. Because each Agadata is getting at a slightly different angle. So at the end, he says, V'sham b'psachim hosivu b'medvar matariyim ma'ara shamed b'moshe. At the last paragraph of the Meiri. Right? He says that that the Gemara adds Moshe's cave. Ve'elio, Romez v'zeladati le'nivu'ah. That's symbolic of prophecy. V'zkir Moshe ve'elio, sh'shneem yivchar ha'nivim, because they were the best of the Nevi'im. Right, so Moshe and then Eliyahu. So what does the Meiri say? Right, so now we have two approaches. Right, and I want to just highlight the difference. Now both of them are fundamentally rationalists. Right, both of them are committed to metaphor. Right, but there is a difference. Right, the Rambam is fundamentally, what is he doing? He's taking a philosophical idea, and then the details become not so important. Right, he says the idea that something's created ben hashmashot means that miracles are programmed into creation. What's the difference between saying that it happened ben hashmashot and why aren't other miracles there? What does the Rambam say? Well, the other ones can be said to be built into that creation itself. The Meiri comes and says, listen, v'mchilat kvod torato, right? The Rambam is right philosophically, but is that what it means here? And he says, to read an agarata is not just to have a compelling philosophical idea that explains the generality. It's every detail. And not just that. There's 11 lists. If it was just a general idea, then why does each version have, right, certain similarities but slight differences? If all it was saying was, right, certain things were created then, the Meiri says, let's be careful, right? It's saying something more, right? It's saying, no, there are 10 things that are the linchpins of creation. And then we can argue. Because there are certain things that everyone is going to agree. Creation is for that. And certain things that, like, I mean, they're important, but are they, right? Are they Beseder Godel Rishon or Sheni, right? First level importance or second, right? And you can understand why there would be a machloka. And that's what the Meiri is trying to do. He's trying to show you how to read an agarata. Both of them, right? And this is just important to realize that, obviously, you can come from the same philosophical background, but still disagree. Right, based on how carefully you think you're supposed to read something, literarily. Now,
sorry, what about the
donkey? Just one second. One second.
Sorry, the mule.
Now there may be a difference. I'm not convinced of this, but if you look at Ray Tarragon in the next piece, he thinks that there is a slight difference between the Rambam and the Meiri, whether we should properly say that miracles are pre-programmed or pre-designed, whatever exactly that means. I'm not totally sure. Right, because the Meiri, right, really just says everything the Rambam says I agree with, right? It's just not shot here. So I'm not totally sure. You can see it in some of his analysis. Analysis here. Yes. What do you want to say?
So why are they saying the mule? What importance does the mule have?
We did that last week. We spent all that on the fire and the mule. I gave you one extra shot, but just for you, if you look at the last page, I did give you one shot that I didn't cover last week from the Sfat Emet, which is why, of all things, does the fire and the mule get in this verified list? Whether you think that this Mishnah is teaching you the truth of miracles or the linchpins of a creation, the mule is still sort of a weird one to get into either list. So we talked about it a little bit last week, that the mule and fire may be teaching a different lesson, right? But the Sfat Emet, I didn't give you last week, right? And he says, no, you can look at it, right? The Sfat Emet suggests a different explanation for Nechemiah's statement. The Gemara later says, according to Rabbi Yossi, fire and mule were not actually created in Hashmashot, Avera Shabbat in creation. Rather, Hashem thought about them, right? When Hashem endowed man with dot similar to his, as it were, enabled man to incite, to have the insight and create fire and to cross between species to create a mule. So what is he really saying? Right, so you look at the next paragraph, the Sfat Emet, and this actually does sort of work for the Meiri, not for the Rambam. Right, but for the Meiri, for the Sfat Emet, what does he say? Why do you say mule and fire? That God, that one of these, what's one of the linchpins of creation? Human's ability to contribute. Right, that actually, for the Meiri, that makes a lot of sense. Right, that those two, they're borderline, but right, the whole shiur we gave last week fits in because it's saying, yeah, one of the linchpins of creation is the fact that human beings can also be creative.
It's interesting because isn't there like a thing that you're not supposed to be cross-breeds? Or is it only the plants?
That was what we talked about last
Oh, yeah. I forgot that I was there. Okay. I think I was there.
Now, the one thing that neither the Rambam nor the Meiri does is explains, really, I think, Ben Ashmasho. Right? So I gave you Rav Matatya Yitzari, who's one of these very interesting Rishonim and Pirkei Avot. As you see, we're not really going to have time to get through all of them, Rav Matatya Yitzari, which I thought might happen. So in case we weren't going to get through all of it, what? Some Provençal. I don't know. He's one of, if I remember correctly, he's one of the lesser known disputants at Tortosa. Okay. There, you know how there were debates, disputes, right? Yeah. Disputations. The most famous one being the Rambans, right? Mm-hmm. The second most famous being
this guy,
the one at Tortosa. He's not the most famous. The most famous person who's disputing at Tortosa is Yosef Albo, the author of Sefer Eikarim. Yes. Yes. So he's the disputant at Tortosa. It's in 1303, 1304, if I remember correctly. What? We do have records of the dispute at Tortosa. Yeah, but it was a disaster. No, but it was an unmitigated disaster. It wasn't like the Ramban. The Ramban actually got to talk. It was like one where you were limited in what you were allowed to say. It was a disaster. It was a much... That was not so good. That's why Sefer Eikarim in many ways may have been a response to it, because they weren't actually allowed to talk in any real way during the dispute. So Matatya Yitzhari seems to have been one of... If I remember correctly, it was one of them. We're not going to get through it. What's nice is that Meritatya Mitzari really goes even into more detail on each of these examples. As you can see, you'll have to read that in your own time, because I really just wanted to do broad picture, but he does add one thing that I thought was really nice. Because Lidati, for the Rambam, it could have just said, at the end of creation. Now again, you'll say Ben Ashmasho is the creation. For the Meiri, Ben Ashmasho means the end of creation. And I like it just because it's poetic, and I think it might be what's being captured. So this is just what I bolded, in case you're looking, what in this huge piece? Well, I thought we might only have time to do one thing around today, so I bolded it. And if we had more time, good. If not, well, we didn't. And you see how many ellipses there are. You can see that I cut it down, right? You see how many ellipses I put there, right? Okay. Vilazen nireli. She'en omram erev shabbat ben ashmashot zman. Just look at the bold, okay? Zman miuchad l'riyaratav advarim. It's not telling me that, oh, bein hashmashot erev Shabbos, that is the ideal time for these, right? Not that. El lomar, she'enam dvarim tmidim tmidim. He goes like the Rambam, not like the Meiri, right? The point of these is that this is not nature in the way we conceive of nature. El dvartim biltim atmiim umizarud atefa. These are things that are odd. Ella, right, but nature still really applies to them, as the Rambam says. Karama pilosof hadvarim asher b'teva v'heim zarim kimat karov liyodam nishpatim. Right, these are things in nature, but they're rare. Right, meaning that's basically what the Rambam says. Right, okay, they're really natural. Everything's natural, but they're rare. So he's basically within the Rambam, but he, unlike the Rambam, explains. So why ben hashmasho? And I love this. Because the real problem with these miracles is human beings can't conceive of them as natural. They really are. From God's perspective, they're the same. But from our perspective, we don't perceive them as miracles. Right? That's why. Right? The point was to highlight the fact that from our perspective, right? We don't see miracles as nature. They are, right? The Rambam is right philosophically, but Ben Ashmasho, the time which is twilight, which is Safek Yom Safek Laila, is perfect to describe the fact that the difference between miracles and nature is not from God's perspective, but from ours. Right? Very good. Yes, okay. If I wanted to be very lumdish, very good. If I wanted to be very lumdish, I would say what you are medayik from the Agadic Kamas of Tatya Yitzhari is that he's cholik on the Ritva in Yoma. Voila, great, amazing. I didn't even think of putting it that way, but next time, Bli Neder, when I give a shir on whether Ben Ashmashot is a suffake, I'll be like, it's mashma, that they'll be like, whoa, he's like, that's being a Talmud Chacham. It's like, oh, there's a diuk in the Agadic comments over Metatya Yitzhari in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot that implies the opposite of the Ritva. Oh, mamish, mamish, oh. Right, that those are the moments where people are like, you know, oh, he knows Torah. It's like, sure. Okay, great. Right? It'll buy me like 100 points, you know, it's like...
But so you're saying the suffix
What? No, but the fact that we don't know whether it's day or night, what? It works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay, if you want to see the Mitzvot Yetzirah, you can read it inside. But again, the reason I gave it to you, are we getting through the whole list? No, but I wanted to show you how several Rishonim, all who are committed to rationalism, all who are committed to reading Agadot in metaphorical ways, right? Despite that, and even who share the same philosophical ideas, can nevertheless look at the same Agadah and say, look, just because we share the same philosophical ideas, we have to, right? And you see that the Rambam's approach basically, and to be fair, it maybe the Rambam did this on purpose, right? Like we know the Rambam does this, right? Like the Rambam will sometimes say, yeah, like the general, what's important to the general, and sometimes the details are not specific, right? The Rambam thinks it about God's word, right? Is that like the idea of kashrut is like a fundamental, and what is kosher and what isn't is arbitrary at some level, right? So it could be the Rambam just saying, look, the basic philosophical idea is that what looks like miracles is nature. Right? It doesn't work for every example. So maybe the Rambam had a teretz, or maybe the point is, okay, I mean, whatever, it doesn't matter so much. The Meiri reads this very much as a philosophically oriented agadic parshan. And he says, okay, I agree with the Rambam, adasof, or maybe not adasof, depending if right Targum's writing his diukim, okay? But fundamentally, I agree with the Rambam, but it's not what the Agadata says, right? And there he goes through and he says, it's not about miracles, it's about what are the fundamentals of faith that the world needs. It's not about creation, but it's that what creation is leading to, right? You can't finish creation without explaining the why of creation. And that's what he says. And then he says there are certain things where you could quibble. They're true, but are they really fundamentals of faith? Right? That's basically the way he's going to view the machlokah. And that's why he acknowledges, that's why you could have 10 lists, which will share certain ones on all lists. And certain things you'll say, okay, he thought it was, he thought it wasn't. Right? And then you have Rav Matatya Yitzhari, who I just like because he says, but are you really taking the imagery, right? Why don't you just say, Besofa Bria? What is Bein Hashmashot? So he says, well, metaphorically, Bein Hashmashot is beautiful because especially according to the Rambam, that it's about teaching you what miracles are. And the point is that from God's perspective, miracles are the same as nature, but from our perspective is not. How do you get that point across? Well, take the example that to us is Safek Yom Safek Laila that we are unsure about. How to assess it? That's the point from a human perspective. Right, is we don't know what it is, and that's what's being conveyed through the metaphor of Bein Hashmashot. Okay, like I said, if you want to do more of this, there's a tremendous amount you can do, even just in the Perush and Pirkei Avot, Kal Vachomer, the Mefarshim of the Gemara, and if you want Rachel Edelman, right, who I mentioned last week, fully half of her dissertation on Pirkei Elazar is devoted to this Agadata as it appears in Pirkei Elazar in its different forms, and that's over 200 pages if you want careful analysis, which is very interesting. 450, something like that, and like 200. So I know I read this half. I looked what was relevant to this, right? But you can see even what I just gave you on the page. Rumatate Yisari should take you a while. Anyways, so. Anyways, so this is an introduction. I guess in 2 weeks, guys. We're not going to get through every detail. Obviously, if you wanted to, every detail does have agadic points, right? As the Meiri saw, but there are different perushim. You go through the Mefarshim. Yeah, they all, and the Matatya Yitzhari, I'll be honest, has some very interesting ones. Maybe I'll pick like two or three and highlight for you next week. But I want to do is really, I want to read the next one, which are the seven things that were created before creation. And I don't know if I'm going to get beyond the Akedat Yitzchak because it's so beautiful, right? It's just so beautiful of a parish on the Agadata. But it's not short. And if we want to understand it and just to get through the Talmud, but okay, we'll stop there. Shkoyach.